So when I was asked about the topic, there was one word that came to mind, and it is because it's a prevailing sentiment right now. And the word is fear. Fear. Al-khawf. And this is a word that speaks to many different circumstances and to many different situations in our lives, both in regards to our deen as well as our dunya, that we often feel paralyzed by fear. And that is, in fact, the statement that would be made: I'm paralyzed by fear. I can't move because of my fear. For some, that fear is of what's happening in terms of the global ummah, in terms of what's happening in Palestine or Lebanon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant victory to our brothers and sisters that fight this distinguishedly evil enemy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them victory over it. Allahumma ameen. So there's fear. What's next? And how is this going to end? And what's going to come about this? And what does this mean for the greater Muslim ummah? There's a lot of fear about what post-election looks like for Muslims in the United States. What's going to happen to us? Is this going to happen? Are we going to lose whatever progress we've made over the last 20 years? Are we going to find ourselves in a situation where we're fighting this battle or that battle? What does this mean for my children growing up in this country? There's fear of poverty that perpetually disturbs most men. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ used to frequently seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from ad-dayn, from debt. And debt usually comes with qahr al-rijal, with cruelty to accompany it. There are fears in regards to those who don't have relationships yet. Will I ever find a spouse? And there are fears for those who are in their marriages of whether their marriages will end or not. There are fears that we have for our children in regards to their deen, in regards to their future. Fear, 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 fear. Now, subhanAllah, walk that back and first and foremost, frame it from an Islamic perspective. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about this notion of al-khawf, of fear? And one of the things that's incredibly powerful is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just acknowledge that you have fear, no matter who you are, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds of His blessing in giving you safety in the first place, and then calls you to continue to seek safety from Him. لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds Quraysh of the favor when He fed them in their hunger and He secured them in regards to their fear. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam for Mecca, where Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Rabbi ja'al hadha baladan amina. Oh Allah, make this a safe place. And Allah, and Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua for Allah to feed the people of Mecca, to provide them from his tamarat, from his fruits. And so they were living the fruits of the dua of a righteous man well before. But the point is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledges you have fear and you have hunger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided you safety, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided you sustenance. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ, that we will test you with something of fear and hunger. The words that Hafiz Sajjad read tonight in the second rak'ah, the first words that the angels will say to the righteous believer, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them, are أَلَّا تَخَافُوا, don't be afraid, وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, and don't grieve. The Prophet ﷺ taught us to say every morning and every evening, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from al-ham, anxiety. And what produces anxiety? Fear produces anxiety. Fear produces anxiety, right? A person is mahmoom often because they're afraid of what's to come. It's uncertainty. It's what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen tonight? What's going to happen next year? What's going to happen this? And am I going to be able to pass this exam? Am I going to be able to get this job? Am I going to be able to marry this person? Is this going to be okay? Am I going to get past this health difficulty? Hem is anxiety that is more often than not fear produced. Hazan is grief over the past. Sadness is grief over the past. And I could go on and on and on about the Quran and the ahadith, and some of the ulama pointed to the fact that usually you will find the very first emotion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to is fear, because fear is the most overpowering emotion that exists in our emotional makeup. Fear has the capacity to completely cripple a person more so than any other enemy. Hazan, in fact, some of the ulama speak about this in their tafsir, that hazan, which is grief, every single human being lives with grief, but people are usually able to work past grief. Key word here is work past grief. Most people, as they get older, will carry the burden of dead family members, will carry the sadness of something that happened to them in the past. But most people are able to work through that, even though they feel sadness as they are working. But if you're too scared of what is to come, you can't do anything. Fear absolutely paralyzes you. And subhanAllah, in Surah Ali Imran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَ, that verily, that is the shaitan. He scares you through his followers. يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَ, he scares you through his followers. فَلَا تَخَافُهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ, do not be afraid of them, be afraid of me instead, if you are indeed believers. One of the things about the Qur'an in this regard is that the Qur'an often explains itself in different places. Tafsir of the Qur'an from other parts of the Qur'an. Surah Ali Imran is speaking to a concept of Badr going into Uhud. Badr, a Badri reality going into Uhud. And in fact, that's why in Surah Ali Imran you have these incredible incidents that are being captured, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the believers are facing what is seemingly an insurmountable obstacle in front of them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases them, and they say, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is sufficient for us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of protectors. That the believers in these situations, Allah azza wa jal sends them angels, and He makes the angels visible to them in some capacity. To where there is a number to this. Right, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned specific numbers of the malaika so that you knew that your angels that were fighting alongside you outnumbered the shayateen that were ahead of you, the people that were ahead of you. And once you perceived them in Badr, then you knew that every battle that you fought after Badr, those same mechanics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's overpowering the enemy would be present so long as you did your part. And what the ulama mention in this tafsir of this verse, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَ, that the shaitan tries to make us fear, that the shaitan tries to instill this inside of us, is when the hypocrites who were driven by the shayateen, and this is really profound. Imam Baghawi rahimahullah ta'ala mentions the hypocrites as the mouthpieces of the shaitan, right? They're human beings that are amplifying in human form the voice of shaitan. And when they said, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ, that this is what, the primary incident that this is referring to is that there are way too many people ahead of you right now, be afraid. There is no way that you will be able to overcome this insurmountable obstacle, so be afraid. Now at that moment, when you hear that, and I want you to think about this, you're in the battlefield, you hear the number that is coming ahead of you, you have a decision to make. Either you can sit with that fear and you can let it paralyze you, or you can overpower that emotion with a greater emotion. You can overpower that emotion with a greater emotion. And so I want us to come to this point, inshallah ta'ala, and kind of break down what does that look like. And Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentions that every emotion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, He has given us a means of producing it and something to produce with that emotion. So for example, Allah Azza wa Jalla does not tell us to negate al-hub, love. You don't negate love in any capacity. Not the love of the spouse. وَفِي بُضِعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً. There's charity, there is a good deed when you channel passion, love in its most base physical means. When you channel that in the halal, you are rewarded for it, right? When you channel the love of a salihin, the love of the righteous, أُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ, I love the righteous though I'm not amongst them. There's something rewarding to that. اللهم إني أسألك حبك. Oh Allah, I ask you for your love and the love of those whom you love and the love of every deed that brings me closer to your love. We love, or one of the emotions that we have, is attention seeking. Every human being seeks attention, but don't seek the attention of people, seek the attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead. So every emotion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, He's given us another emotion or a means of producing that emotion properly, and then something to produce with that emotion. And so Allah Azza wa Jal does not tell the believers in this situation where you're afraid to not be afraid. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be afraid of something else. فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِي. Don't be afraid of them, be afraid of me. Because fear is inherent in our personalities. It's inherent in our emotional makeup. But what are you afraid of? Two people in this current political climate that we have could be sitting right now in the same home and be very afraid. One of them, as they are watching, I just want you to imagine two people sitting on a couch watching what's happening in Gaza. One of them internalizes that and says, I am afraid of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this crime happening in front of me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to me, what did you do? What did you do when this was happening? The other one sitting down, looking at the same thing, the outward mechanics of crying or shivering or some sort of bodily movement, is afraid of, what does this mean for us? At what point is this killing machine going to take its turn and come to us? I'll bring it even closer. Subhanallah, one of the worst things that's happening to us right now in Gaza is the bitter realization that there are tens of millions of Muslims right around that small area that is being devoured by these beasts. And there's a complete incapacity, and sometimes an unwillingness, right? And I want you to think about, I want you to imagine if you lived right along the Rafah border, if you lived in Egypt, right next to the Rafah border, are you watching that and are you going, I fear that these monsters will start to come and devour our village. They'll come after us next. Are you watching that and saying, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He asks me, what are you doing? What are you doing? Right? So fear is the emotion. But what are you what's producing that fear, and then what do you do with that fear? What's producing the fear, and what is the fear producing? And you have to diagnose it just like everything else from the start. What's producing the fear? What am I afraid of? That companion that was in a difficult situation fears meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking them to task. I fear not doing enough. So where does the fear come from? Then what do I do with that fear? What does that fear produce? Now bring it to us in a very personal way, and how we actually start to analyze that. What do we do with all of this? First and foremost, you know, there's a saying that no one has ever conquered a fear through thinking, right? Fear is conquered through action. Think about when you're afraid of something. If you sit there and you just read more and think about it more, what does it do? It makes you more afraid. It makes you more paralyzed, right? You have to actually do something. Something has to come out of that, right? It has to move you to something. Otherwise, you'll dwell in that fear, and the prison of fear will become greater. The shackles of fear will become greater. And that's why, subhanAllah, many of the ulama mentioned the wisdom in the Qur'an, that when we are afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we run back to Him. We move. You take that fear and you channel it into a dua. You channel it into a salah. You channel it into a good deed. You channel it into action. Action is what conquers fear, not overthinking a situation. Overthinking only perpetuates a fear further. Now that doesn't mean you're not mindful, because in the Sharia, when we are acting, we're also thinking. But we're acting more, right? We're moving in the process. I'm afraid of my sins. لَيْسَ الْخَائِفُ مَنْ يَبْكِي وَيَمْسَحُ عَيْنَيْهِ A person who's truly afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not someone who cries and then wipes their tears. ولكن الخائف من يترك ما يخاف وأن يحاسبه الله عليه. A person who truly fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who leaves off what is causing them to cry in the first place. There is an action that has to be produced. Otherwise, the paralysis will be perpetuated. Meaning what? Even in the situation that we find in today of political uncertainty, if you're sitting around and dwelling and finding that that fear is becoming more overwhelming, but it's not channeling you to some sort of concerted effort, then the fear will only grow. But if you're in that capacity of movement, what you will notice is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah, will put blessing in the little, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you with the steadfastness to be able to continue. There's something that comes out of moving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of literally getting up and doing things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you put in the capacity of that fear, because one of the reasons why it becomes so overwhelming is that we think that the obstacle cannot be conquered. So what do? If you fear your sins, ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. You remember Allah, and so you seek forgiveness for your sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Say, O my servants who have despaired as a result of their sins, do not despair, or have transgressed against themselves with their sins, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Verily, Allah forgives all sins. So take your despair and remind yourself that the one that you are seeking forgiveness from is fully capable of seeing you through that process of redemption. Not because you're a great person, but because that's how great his forgiveness is. You put your tawbah back in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as far as the completion of the process is concerned. But you put the effort of that process entirely in your court. You don't sit around and say, all right, I cried it out, Allah is going to forgive me. That's insulting. But you put the actual redemption, the quality of redemption, entirely in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you put the effort entirely in your hands. That I need to do everything that I can. And I'm putting the tawbah, the actual result of tawbah, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands. When you fear an obstacle, subhanAllah, something so simple, like when the Prophet ﷺ would be ascending, the Prophet ﷺ would be saying, Allahu Akbar, right? Reminding yourself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than the obstacle that you are ascending. Allah is greater than what you are climbing. Allah is greater than what threatens you. When you find that the doubts start to bother you, and you start to fear your doubts, you say, Amantu billah. Your affirmation is, I believe in Allah. And so the doubts are quelled in the certainty of your affirmation. So number one, the way that we conquer our fear is by, whether it's fear of our sins, or fear of the cruelty of someone else, or fear of an obstacle, or fear of an end result, is we always factor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into the equation as the greatest factor. So something very simple affirmations. No matter who wins the election, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still in charge. No matter who wins the election, no matter what these shayateen do to our brothers and sisters, Allah is still in charge. This is one of the greatest ways to affirm yourself. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Not only is Allah in charge in some sort of, you know, philosophical, ambiguous sense, but Allah is in charge to the point that I know that you will not harm me. And this is the Prophet ﷺ's advice to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. When he's telling Abdullah ibn Abbas, look, stuff's going to happen. He's talking to his teenage boy. SubhanAllah, like, think about, sometimes we have to make this more real. You know the best conversations you have with your kids? When you're driving. Just you and your kid, right? By the way, subhanAllah, one thing I learned from one of my mashayikh is he'd always take one of his kids to a dars. Never have the whole crew. It's like they always just fight each other when I have them together, but when I have a one-on-one time, right? You travel with your kid. You talk to your kid in the car. That's where the most real advice comes. There's something about being in a journey. There's something about a moving vehicle. Like, you can have conversations when you take a drive together, even as friends. What is, you know, make it that real. The Prophet ﷺ is riding with Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and he turns around in the vehicle, says, Ya ghulam, young man, inni wa'alimuka bi kalimat, let me teach you some words. Let me give you some advice. احفظ الله يحفظك. Be mindful of Allah, Allah will protect you. Be mindful of Allah, you'll find Him in front of you. Be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will secure you in every single way. And if you ask, ask of Allah. And if you seek help of Allah. And know that if the whole world were to gather together to benefit you with something, لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ, they will not be able to benefit you with anything unless Allah has written it for you. And if they gather together to harm you with something, they would not be able to harm you with something unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written it against you. Sit with this for a moment and think about it. You know how your mashayikh will remind you often that Allah is testing you in ease as much as He's testing you in hardship? That it is bala, it is ibtila. Allah is testing you bil khayri wa shar. Allah is testing you with good and with bad. That the test that you have with your prosperity is just as severe. Aqsa wa ashad min al ibtila bil dhiqi wal faqr. As Ata rahimullah said, it is far more severe to be tested with prosperity and ease than it is to be tested with poverty and hardship. It is a much greater test when you go home to your comfortable home in Dallas and you lay down and you're not thinking about the bills at night and you don't feel the urgency to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're being tested far more than that person that is under the bombs of Gaza fleeing from tent to tent, because that is a parable to that person's existence in dunya. They know they're being tested. They don't have time to be deluded by the shaitan. What shaitan's going to delude you in Gaza? Except for with fear, by the way. What's he going to tempt you with in Gaza? What are you going to be deluded by? But in that situation, when you're in ease, you're not thinking about how urgent the situation is. Is your situation any less dire in regards to your existence with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a person who's jumping from tent to tent fleeing a bomb? It's the same dire situation. What does this have to do with Ibn Abbas's hadith? Notice that the Prophet ﷺ started with benefit before harm. Because if you don't know, you know, they say if you don't know who pays your bills, then you won't understand who actually can fire you in corporate. If you don't know who benefits you in the first place, then of course you're going to have a skewed understanding of harm. If you're not attributing every moment of blessing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allowing that blessing to come to you, to provoke something out of you that's greater, then of course you're not going to contextualize properly when harm comes to you, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving me this harm to provoke something greater out of me. You didn't understand an-naf'a, how are you going to understand a-dharr? How are you going to understand a-dharr? You didn't understand benefit, how are you going to understand harm? So, oh young man who has everything going for him in life right now, Abdullah ibn Abbas is the pride of Quraysh, right? The pride of that family. So beautiful, handsome, speaks well, presence, ilm, hikmah, knowledge, wisdom, popularity at a young age. Everything is going to come to him, right? Prophet ﷺ is telling him, all those people that will come around you, no one will come to you except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission. Know that. They won't be able to benefit you unless Allah azza wa jalla allows it. And when the tables turn, because he would live to see the fitan too, know that they will not be able to harm you unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote it against you. It's deeply profound, because fear and hope for the believer are produced from the same place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do I have hope in? Do I look around and I say, I've got myself fortified? Am I placing my hope in the instruments of power or the instruments of security that I have? Or am I placing my hope in the one who provided me that security in the first place? Allah. And so when it's taken away from me, or when I feel like it could be taken away from me, am I placing my fear back in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I fear failing the test more than I fear the test itself? Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, قَالَ أَحَدُ الْعَارِفِينَ, that one of the righteous man once said, as he was dying and the people came to him when he was dying and he was crying and he was shivering, and he said, if you think I fear death, la akhsha al-maut wa innama akhsha ma wara al-maut. I don't fear death, I fear what comes after death. So if you're looking at me right now and you think that I'm crying out of the fear of death, that's not what this is. I fear what comes after death. I fear what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for me there, should I not find myself in the legion of those who are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come back to this, dear brothers and sisters. When you get scared, ask yourself why you're scared. And then ask yourself what you're going to do with that fear. One of the greatest blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He allows us to taste, and I'll leave you with this, He allows you to taste the volatility of your blessing in this dunya so that you can realize that it is not something for you to take as a foundation in life. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Allah tests you with a little bit of faqr, with a little bit of poverty, a little bit, just a pinch, so that you can know that money is no guarantee of your security. Allah tests you with a health thing that comes out of nowhere so that you can know that there will come a time where your health will completely fail you. Allah tests you with a little bit of loss of your security so that you can know that there is no one who can secure you but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no one who can secure you from Allah but Allah. Allah gives you that, like if you're resting on pillars, and this is what you kind of look around, I got this person, I've got this in place, I've got my passport, I've got this citizenship, I've got this much money stored in the bank, and you're leaning on this pillar for strength, Allah lets it shake for you so that you can realize it's not the pillar of strength that you actually thought it was. Until you take that back and you channel it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are we teaching our children? What are we teaching our future generations in the midst of all of this? We should not be teaching them fear, we should be teaching them courage. And when you look at the people of Gaza, who can stare an enemy right in the eyes for the devil that he is, and there is nothing you can do to that person to break that person. Even shattering their limbs and you can't break their spirits. We heard about these people in the past. We heard about Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We heard about Mus'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We heard about Shaykh al-Islam bin Taymiyyah rahimahullah standing in the courtroom of his oppressor and saying, what can my enemy do to me? Naqatli shahada. Kill me, it's shahada. Put me in prison, it's khalwa, it's seclusion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Deport me, it's siyah. It's a chance to contemplate the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My jannah is in my heart. What are you going to do to me? We used to read about these people. Now we see these people. What are we taking of the courage of the people of Gaza in the face of these seemingly insurmountable obstacles that are ahead of us? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a sincerity that produces courage. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from a fear that produces cowardice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirm us and grant us thabat in that which is pleasing to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to find our strength through Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to internalize la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah in the fullest sense of the phrase. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to internalize hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil in the fullest sense of the phrase. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us amongst those who finds a test that exposes an ugly inner reality, but may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those instead who, when they are tested in any way, that it produces the most beautiful of scent and that it produces only that which is pleasing to Him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the end of the test of this dunya the blessing and the success of the akhirah, a perpetual foes, a perpetual success, alongside Ashab al-Ukhdud, alongside those who burned in the bottom of the ditch, and alongside those who stood in triumph for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal make us all amongst al-fa'izin. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from al-hammi wal-hazan, wal-ajzi wal-kasal, wal-jubni wal-bukhul, and ghalabat al-daini wa qahra al-rijal. May Allah protect us from anxiety and grief. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from laziness and incapacity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from stinginess and cowardice. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from debt and from the cruelty of man. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to that which He loves and guide us to whom He loves. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those whom He loves. Allahumma ameen. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallam wa baraka nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallam wa baraka nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما إن الذين يؤذون الله ورسوله لعنهم الله في الدنيا والآخرة وأعد لهم عذابا مهينا مهينا والذين يؤذون المؤمنين والمؤمنات بغير ما اكتسبوا فقد احتملوا بهتانا وإثما مبينا.